are listening to Chatter with Dina, brought to you by Seatown Chatter Magazine. You might also be watching in this video podcast. We talk about trending topics in the MENA region, but we don't just discuss the issue. We have an open discussion and see what kind of solutions we can actually put into practice. I'm your host, Dina Hassanin, and today I am joined by Basma, who you might know as B. Bishay, or I know you hate this, airport girl, to talk about sexual harassment and what the rest of the community, starting with Egypt and hopefully spreading across the Middle East and the MENA region, what we can do to prevent, minimize and fix this issue. Basma, welcome to Chatter with Dina. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
I'm sorry for calling you airport girl, because I know you hate it.
Okay.
And the only reason I did it was just because, in case, you know, when you see so much information on social media, sometimes you literally do remember people as airport girl.
Yeah. It's true.
You're obviously a person. You weren't always airport girl.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to have you to talk about this, because when I initially contacted you, I fell in love with you after your first email. And I'm going to tell you why. You said to me, I don't want to just talk about my experience. I want to talk about how we can educate, prevent, and what we need to do to fix the issue, which I think is amazing, because in the past few months, I've seen a lot coming out of MUST, like a lot of sexual harassment cases, a lot of people coming forward. And what I really loved about you is that you had that rawness and said to me, I want to talk about fixing it and what we can do, which is more important than just talking about a story. So thank you so much. But before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit about what happened to you, just in case no one saw the video?
Yeah. So my friends and I were coming back from Lebanon, and then halas, we were done with everything in the airport, the passport control, everything like that. And then we were there was a humongous line for customs or whatever. No, not customs.
Is it the luggage?
Yeah, the one where they put the bags and the thingy.
Yeah.
So while we were standing, my friend all of a sudden looks at me and she's like, watch out, this guy's taking a picture of you. And as she was saying it, he noticed that she had noticed him.
Yeah.
So he started running away and he tried to delete the photos. And then my husband, my friend and her husband all walk towards him, and then hell just broke loose from there.
Yeah.
We spent, that was at 9:30 p.m. We ended up leaving the airport at 2 or 2:30 a.m.
Nice.
So it was crazy. Yeah.
Is he just a regular person? He didn't work at the airport or anything. He was just
passenger. No, he works at the airport. He is actually hired by the airport. And the part where I haven't been allowed to talk about this really openly. So feel free to just cut me off at any point.
No, but do listen, speak and say whatever you want to say. I'm not going to cut you off.
Thank you. Okay. But you can still cut me off. But anyway, the most horrible part of it to me, because I mean, this is sexual harassment and it's not okay. And it felt horrible just to imagine that my body would be on someone else's phone, and Lord knows what he would do with it. It's just a horrible thing. But not just that. At first, we were faced with people were not willing to help right away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to believe that social media and me doing that helpless video in a moment of extreme weakness, I believe that had everything to do with how things went on for the rest of the night. Because at first, the zubbot or whatever would come to me and they were like, Yani, you just go home and we're going to fix this for you. Don't worry. It's going to take forever. Why would you put yourself through that? And just leave and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not leaving until he's handcuffed. And they're like, no, khalas, he got fired. What more could you possibly want? I'm like, he got fired is the least thing. What's the point of there being a law if it's not going to be, enforced?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It drove me crazy. And the first moment with the zubbot all looking at my phone, at his phone, sorry, not my phone, just looking at the photos, I was like, who are you people? Why are you looking at the photo that I'm obviously very unhappy about the fact that it was taken. Yani, yeah. Why are you all just looking at it? It's just...
There was 10 of them, right? Was it 10?
They were eight men at first, plus more, like my husband and my friend. So 10 altogether, but eight strangers.
And they were just passing the picture around?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like, because I don't know how the system works or anything, I, for the first, like, what, 5 minutes, I was like, these are people who are probably, like, they need to see evidence in order to help.
Hmm.
And there are people who are actually going to help me. Like, they're here to help me. And then I later found out that these people did not need to be there at all, that I don't even know who they are, because there was only one person with an actual uniform on.
Hmm.
And he's the person who actually ended up helping me. But the other people, I'm like, who are you? And they disappeared and I never saw them again. So what were you doing looking at my picture in front of, you know, a higher ranked person there? Like, I don't know.
Some sort of drama, like, oh, come and look at this picture, rather than this has happened, fix it.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, and it was only like in the moment where I questioned, I was like, so now you've all seen that there's proof on the phone. What are we doing about it? And then I got yelled at and just told to, you know, shut up and sit down and stuff like that. And the guy who took the picture of me, which also has not been shared nearly as, you know, often as it should have been. This other guy, one of the people who was just looking at my phone, at his phone.
Yeah.
He was like, your photo is not even on this phone. And I was like, what, are you crazy? Are you kidding me? And I got up to like take the phone and show him. And then the person who took the photo held my arm and pushed it, like he shoved me. And I was like, excuse me, is anyone seeing this? He literally like مد إيده عليا.
He took
my hand and like shoved it. Is anyone seeing this? And then that's when they started yelling at me and no one cared at all. And like the wording of whatever they were writing showed that like, this is an old trusted airport employee. And then these are a bunch of passengers who are claiming yaddao or whatever, that he took a picture.
So like, and he's so miskin ya'ini, like really nice, really loyal employee.
Exactly. And I was like, why is this the wording? I don't understand. Mm. Yani. And so that was the moment where I felt like, okay, these people are not going to help me. They're not interested at all. They don't even see the problem. And then that was when I was like shaking and decided to make the video.
Yeah, it was hard watching that video because I saw it quite soon after you actually posted it. I think I can't remember what time, but it was very, very raw. It hadn't had as many views and now it's like 2.5 million. And when I was I was watching it and I was like, I could see in you, you were trying so hard to compose yourself, because it's not just the shock of this person has got a picture of me on his phone, but it's the shock of the people that are meant to be protecting me are literally being like, so what, Ayani, what's the problem?
And exactly.
Just a question, Basma, did anyone ask you or say anything about what you were wearing while you were in that room?
While I was in the room?
Yeah, when they were like, inspecting, no one said anything.
No, to be honest, like those were the comments that I got on social media and like after every single interview that I did and everything, that's where that was raised, and on my Instagram and everything. But then like in the room itself, I think they would have been really, really stupid to say anything about that, especially because I was in jeans and a t-shirt, first of all.
Yeah.
And even if I wasn't in jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Zapt. Even if you were wearing a bikini in the airport, why is it anyone's business? That's not a point of whether I can be sexually harassed or not, depending on what I wear. And I really wanted to ask you that question because I saw it in the comments and I was getting really angry and it wasn't even me. So I can't imagine when you were reading it, how you felt.
Yeah, no, my husband made me promise to not read the comments.
Good.
And I mean, honestly, I was overwhelmed enough as it is, or as it was, or is. Anyway, and then he's like, just promise me you're not going to read the comments. But then Ghazvani, like whenever I'd hold my phone, let's say I'm doing something or anything, I get a notification and like the first few words of the comment would appear. And then I saw so many comments of people being like, and honestly, what like is even more shocking is that some of these comments came from people who are just as educated as I am, from the same like social class and everything like that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what are you saying? Are you saying that, you know, if I walk around in a dress, for example, I can't, like, what is that?
Yeah. No, you're right. The whole attitude has to change. And obviously, before we go into that, I wanted to ask you, once you made that video and it blew up, what happened after that? Because I didn't, I saw that you posted a video, but we didn't hear about much. What happened? What happened when you went back in?
Okay, so first of all, the purpose behind which I even made that video was just that, because I didn't have followers, like, or I had a few followers, obviously, but they were either my friends or my friends' friends. Mm-hmm. And just a few of them were people that I actually didn't know.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like I was an influencer and had a lot of like influence, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. And so my intention, honestly, was I just need to make this video. I needed to reach someone who will be able to help me. Someone with a number, someone, you know what I mean? So I was thinking really logically and systematically just in that area.
Yeah.
And then like an hour after I made the video, I even forgot that I made it. And then I was in the room and my husband walks in and he's like, what? Check Instagram. And I'm like, what are you doing? Instagram
دلوقتي. Yeah,
and then he's like, just look at what your video did. And I'm like, my video? And I'm like, oh yeah, I made a video. And I looked and it was like 200,000 views. And then you'd refresh, 300,000 views, like literally increasing by 100,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's crazy, it's insane. But it felt like we were in a room that was outside of time, kind of. So I wasn't sure who saw what. All I know is that after I made that video, I came out. I went back in, and all the men were gone, and there were just like new faces, and then one similar face, like one familiar face, the same guy.
Yeah.
And then I don't think they even saw the video happen, but all of a sudden they started getting phone calls. I'm telling you, these are really higher ranked people. Like, yeah. It's not like they're, you know, little people. Anyway, they'd start getting phone calls from people and they'd be like, you know, they go from all loud, and all of a sudden they're like, I have ended okay, like, you know. And then, wow. Okay, how they're doing. And then everything flipped 180 degrees. So I think it's because of the video. Like, actually, I'm certain.
You're sure. Because this is the thing. Like, that's why I was so happy that I saw you do that video. Because not only was it really, not embarrassing, but it's really vulnerable. It's a situation that you don't ever want to be in, or any woman wants to be in. And you shared that with the world. But like, the best thing that came out of that is that if you wouldn't have done that, I don't think that the guy would have got convicted. Because I think I saw someone else got arrested. Was it the Lua as well, who got fired or something for not, or I think I saw that online. I could be wrong, so don't quote me. But I'm sure, I'll try and find it and I'll send it to you. I'm sure that I saw a post saying that one of the people that work within the team on the airport also got fired, not the guy that took a picture of you. So I will show you. And this is the power of speaking out. And this is the power of, actually, a lot of women must have been sexually harassed. Like, I don't care what you say, what statistics you give me, I can probably like bet my life on it that every Egyptian woman, girl, has been sexually harassed in their life.
Can I say something to that?
Of course.
First of all, this is the mildest form of sexual harassment that I personally have endured. I can remember at least two other situations that were just horrible, yani way worse. So this was also another thing, is that I got messages from people being like, "Al fikra, yani, this was just a picture. What's your problem, yani? And why are you complaining? Mm-hmm. Other women have been through so much worse and stuff." I have been through so much worse, by the way.
Yeah.
And like, I can tell you for a fact that it feels very similar to be violated in that way, where someone claims a right, a certain right on any level over your own body. It's not your right. You don't have that kind of like privilege. But also, ever since this whole thing happened, and this is kind of the reason why when I emailed you, I didn't want to make it solely about my experience.
Yeah.
Because just since this whole thing happened at the airport, I cannot tell you how many DMs and emails I've gotten from people, from women who are like, ala fikra, the exact same thing happened to me. The exact same thing happened. Or please, please share this video. It's this guy who decided to beat a girl for not getting into a car with him. And etc. Yani, so much. And so I'm like, this is so much bigger than me or just what my one story. It just so happens that my story somehow miraculously gave me a voice where I can now speak about this and people will hear me. That's the only difference. But every single Egyptian woman, what was it, like 99.3% of women in Egypt have been harassed, right?
Yeah.
What is this?
Which is such a false, I was like 100%, this is wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Name one person who hasn't been harassed. Oh, and this is about the other thing. This is, okay. And this is also something I have not been allowed to share. So while we were sitting, waiting, so they took our, Yani, they asked me about my story and then my husband and my friend and her husband, because they're like witnesses and stuff.
Yeah.
So this took forever. And then at a certain point, we were left alone in a room with just two other, I don't even know who they are, but they claim they're Bordeaux Zubot or something. While the guy who took the picture of me was being questioned, okay? So we're sitting and they're like, لا بس حاجة غريبة جدا جدا عمتنا اللي حصل ده. ف and about at this point, my eyes are puffy. I can't even see any, يعني تفهم? I can't, I'm not even here. حاجة غريبة جدا جدا. ف I'm like, إلا غريب بحضرتك. ف they're like, إحنا أول مرة نسمع عن حاجة كده. ف I'm like, أو في المطار ولا في مصر? Okay, الاثنين مش صح بس يعني
بالضبط.
في المطار ولا في مصر? So then he's like, لا في مصر أصلاً.
But how old was this man? Can I do come summer? So just out of interest.
No, this guy was—he's like older. No, he's. There was an older guy and a younger guy.
Machine.
Hello, from both generations, from all generations. Adin. And they're like, "حاجة غريبة جدا والله عمرنا ما سمعنا عن حاجة كده." I'm like, "عن التحرش عمركم ما سمعتوا عن التحرش?" So they're like, "Yeah, بجد دي أول مرة نسمع حاجة كده." I'm like, "لا لا لا لا." I swear, Dina, I can't even tell you. At this moment, I had no words. مش عادة كناكو بقى. My friend عادت تحاول, like she was like, لا, we have to tell you there was sexual, there's sexual harassment on every corner وبتاع. أنا, I couldn't even believe أن أنتوا بتستهبلوا. Like there's no way. There's no way.
Like you're trying to be polite about it, but في الآخر, that's مستهبل. I'm sorry. Like you're, Egypt is famous for it.
Exactly. And you are in a position where it's your job to protect against it. And you're pretending like it doesn't even exist.
And that, honestly, that must have been so hard for you because you're just like, what the hell? Stop trying to make up my experience is not true. Like, that's exactly. The worst part.
Exactly. No, no, I can't. No, but Dina, there are no words that describe. Truly, truly, truly. I'm not, like, I think the most traumatizing thing wasn't having my picture taken so much as it was everything I had to endure and the conversations I had to endure after that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, not only do we have a problem, it doesn't seem like we have a willingness to fix it. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And that's hard because, as you said, they're meant to be the people that are protecting you. Imagine that you're in that room and you're like, okay, khalas, so what, I'm supposed to just walk out of here and just accept what happened to me?
Yeah, exactly. And which is actually this other girl's story who she messaged me.
Yeah.
I still need to get back to her. She's like, yeah, this exact same thing happened, but the guy was lucky enough that he was able to delete the photo. And like, she's like, I was hysterical and I went up like to complain, yani okay. And then they're like, basically, if there's no photo, we're very sorry, but this didn't happen. What do you mean? Like, am I just hysterical out of like the blue? Is this something that's so unheard of that like I must be making it up or?
Exactly. But that's why, honestly, I was in awe of you, because not only did you put yourself out there, as I said, you've now given women the confidence to come and speak to you. That might be the first time they've even said that. That might be the first time they've said it out loud to anyone, because it's not something you can tell your parents. Like, it's a hard conversation to have, and it's not something you can tell your husband straight away or your friends. So I can only imagine how full your DMs were.
Oh, they're still really, really full. And it makes me sad that I can't possibly get to all of them, but I don't know. It's at least I try to do my best to answer everyone, you know, but
And you've got to take care of yourself as well. Like, it's hard to read that. It's like, if it's constant, it's going to put pressure and traumatize you as well.
Very, 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 very. The first few days, especially because everything was still really fresh. I couldn't function like a normal person, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Honestly, you're awesome, Basma. Like, I'm so happy you shared that and you're keeping the conversation going. It's unfortunate that every day I go online, I see something happening in Moscow. This woman's being arrested for this, or this man's done this. And it seems like a never-ending cycle, almost like people don't learn. And what I loved about you is you said you wanted to talk about moving forward. What can we do? I wasn't raised in Egypt, so I've been to Egypt back and forth all my life. Mama and Baba Masriyin, like, obviously I'm Masriya, but I wasn't raised in that society, so I only see a snapshot. So I want to talk to you, first of all. Are men getting better at calling out harassers? So, you know, sometimes they have a friend that is basically harassed or rude, disrespectful. Are men getting better at being like, that's not okay, or no?
Yeah. Yes, honestly, even just within my own circle, first of all, seeing my husband and my friend's husband, who's also my friend, you know, the way that they stood up for me and you know,
we all have a friend, or someone that we know that has no boundaries, as you said.
Exactly. And makes women feel very uncomfortable and everything like that. And ever since that happened with me, I've been, my friends and my sister's friends, and you know, who are men, they would come and start talking, did you see what's his face? That was so, I was so like sad for whoever who had to like hear that and stuff. So like my best friend was just talking to me, he's a guy, and he's like, honestly, because of everything that's going on with everything that's against sexual harassment and everything, he's like, now men need to think 100 times before they flirt, even if their intention for flirting is truly like, I'm interested in this girl and I really do want to approach her and I have no bad intentions. He's like, you now have to think 100 times about what the girl's going to feel, what she's going to think, everything like that. And he's like, that's a really good thing. That's like, it's a good thing for men to have to, you know, stop and ask themselves how this is going to make the other person feel and think.
And that's not a bad thing, as you said, you know, like sometimes I have to think 100 times, because people say this in the UK, I live in London, people say like, as men, we get nervous to even approach women anymore because we don't know how it's going to be taken. I was like, well, it's centuries and it's the way that you have built life for us, making us always uncomfortable. Like, what do you expect? It's going to eventually collapse. You can't live like this all the time and not expect women to retaliate in the end.
Exactly. Goodness. Yeah. Men who complain about it, honestly, this is the reason why I think education plays a humongous role, but also like raising awareness and having conversations like these so that we can, you know, try to give them perspective. Like, you need to understand this is beyond you and it's beyond me. Like, this is so much bigger and it's something that's been going on for so, so, so long. Yeah. And it needs to end, and it has to end somehow or somewhere. And okay, instead of seeing like, okay, have you seen The Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, I love that film.
Yeah. So I just rewatched it a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And I think his name is Brooks or something, the really old guy. When he left prison, he couldn't like survive as a free man and had to kill himself. Okay. Of course, with the difference in the example, I'm not even sure if this is like a logical fallacy or what, but anyway, women, if we've been objectified all our lives, you can't expect us to all of a sudden feel, yani, خلاص, now there's a movement and ma'arif shi, so therefore, خلاص, you can go back to dealing with me as if nothing happened, because I am the product of something that I've been enduring for years. It's not like, and women before me have been enduring the same thing for years. And so it's like encoded in me that I need to walk down the streets being very careful. I need to think 105 times before I decide to wear a dress or shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being like, okay, not all men, you know, and like, not all men are like that, and like, you're making it impossible for us to talk to you and whatever. Think about what I've been through and why I am this way. Yani, Brooks obviously wasn't upset that he was free and outside of prison, obviously. That's something every...
Yeah, he just didn't know how to behave because he's never known a world where he's been free.
Exactly. So now it's like, okay, we're speaking out and women are making their voices heard. And, you know, we're starting gradually, slowly but surely, to speak up more boldly.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we're all of a sudden going to, forget how we've been treated and how we're still currently treated.
Come on. And also the men that say things like, I don't know what to do. It's like, well, maybe the way you're speaking to her is wrong. And you've been raised thinking, speaking to someone saying bis bis and yeah, baskutam armishan, all this stuff. You think that that's okay. Like,
exactly.
That's an issue as well, because you've literally lived a life where you think this is how you approach women. And actually it's like, no, if you're scared, it's because you're not doing it right.
Exactly. Exactly. And, like, maybe you stop and ask yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to ask, because I've seen a lot of organizations start to pop up on Instagram in Egypt, like trying to help survivors, trying to help educate people. When you say education, Basima, what do you mean? Because I saw your video, you said poor people, rich people, high class, low class, whatever, we all need that education. And what do you think that looks like?
Okay, well, there's two things. Or maybe even more. Okay, so the first thing is just the basic education, as in, going to school, graduating, getting some sort of higher education. And honestly, even before that, I think the Egyptian education system needs a complete revamp. Mm. Because instead of teaching kids that they need to memorize and then write exactly what they memorized and then graduate, how about you teach them to actually use their brains? How about you teach them, you incorporate some form of like liberal arts, because I think liberal arts are like what, even if you're like gonna go into science and engineering and everything, it's the liberal arts that really, really teach you how to ask the important questions, and be critical in the way that you're thinking. So the education system needs to change, and then people need to learn. They need to actually be put in school. It needs to be affordable, and it needs to be understood that it's a priority. Mm. Because honestly, and I understand, of course, Egypt is on a much bigger scale, but when we were in Lebanon, we were in like the Sahel of Lebanon, okay? So it was like a coastal area, whatever. But then the last day, we went to Beirut, and I was in shorts and a t-shirt. And then I realized Beirut is like the spitting image of Cairo, of downtown Cairo. Wow. And it's like still really, really like crowded and blah, blah, blah. So I asked my husband, because he's been there before me. So as soon as we got out of the car, I'm like, oh my gosh, do you think I should maybe change into my pants? Like, before we start walking, he's like, what are you talking about? This is Beirut. Like, no. And then I was like, okay, if you say so. But I was really worried. And then I was walking down the street. Dina, I kid you not, there were like men sitting on the sidewalk who obviously look like they're not rich or anything. They're like, no one even tilted their head to look at me.
Good.
Not a single, like, and they were sitting on the sidewalk and I was walking on the sidewalk. So you have full access to my legs, full access. Whatever you want to do, we can do.
Carry on.
And like, no one even looked, nothing. And we ended up spending the rest of the day Bordeaux. Like, I'm just walking, fully confident that not a single person is looking at me, and I'm in shorts. And I think it's because they are or at least part of it, a big part of it, is that education is taken very, very seriously there. And everyone speaks four languages, and, people are educated. So this is, the education system itself, and then people feeling like it's important for them to even get an education. Mm. It has to be a priority. And then third would be self-education. And this is something that I believe so, and I'm beyond passionate about this. Mm. Because, okay, if you finish your education at the graduation door, you've graduated and you're leaving, and that's where it stops, then that's really sad, because then life is just going to take you and you're going to, be subtly influenced by everything else around you, and you're not going to be able to form your own opinion, But now I think more than ever, because of how fast-paced life is in the 21st century, and it's like خلاص, the second we're sitting doing nothing, we take our phones and we pull them out and we're on Instagram, flooded with information we care about and information we don't care about. So it's like, when do we actually take time to pick up a book and read it? And when do we take the time to listen to a podcast where someone of an opposing opinion is speaking? But do we have the open-mindedness and enough of an open mind to actually be able to listen to someone else's opinion and disagree with them and have reasons as to why we disagree with them? Like, are we able to get into like critical conversations? I think this is, you have to put in the effort to step away from the TV, from Instagram, from social media, from being out all the time. بزيت في مصر, يعني every single day people leave work and they go sit at a cafe and they just talk about other people. And this is how they spend. And then they go home, sleep, wake up, go to work. So when do you actually invest in yourself? When do you pick up a good book and read it? يعني, which is why I am a humongous believer in like reading and slowing down and journaling and doing the hard work, because that's what formulates your character. That's what builds you as an individual.
Yeah. And at the moment in Egypt's education system, do they talk about like sexual harassment and like anything like that in the curriculum? So for example, in England, when I was younger in school, they used to teach us like about like, you know, the menstrual cycle, like sex education. I understand that might not be something they do in Egypt, but they also taught us like about, very briefly, but like respect and like not touching each other unless like there's consent, et cetera, et cetera. Does that happen in Egypt?
I honestly can only speak from my own personal experience because I don't know enough about the education system as it is now. But in my school, because I went to a British international school. So yes, there was sex education, there was health education. And then always we used to have like full school assemblies and they would talk about things like that, like your boundaries and all that stuff. But this is like what? 0.5% of the population that goes to schools like that. I don't think other schools, because other schools are all about you passing. You need to pass. You need to memorize, or at least that's how it was when I was in school.
No, you're right. My cousins are currently in like they're like 9 and 10, and I know that all they do is just study, so they can pass. So it hasn't changed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah. No, honestly, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing, you know, the things that you didn't talk about already, and obviously having to relive that with me. Honestly, it means a lot that you like did that for us. So thank you. Do you have any advice for any women that have watched this and maybe feel a bit triggered or want to seek help or anything like that? Do you have any advice for women that might have been through something like you?
I think, first of all, be brave. You know, you have rights. And it is the government's duty and responsibility to make sure that you get those rights. So you have a right to walk down the street without someone else touching you or verbally abusing you or anything like that. So if someone does something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you now have the most powerful tool. I mean, I am living evidence and proof that social media goes way beyond our imagination. Like, it reaches everywhere. So please, please, like, share your story, say it, speak it honestly, and then just trust. That's one thing. Another thing is try to be as wise as possible in the actual moment, even though, you know, you might be feeling extremely, you know, ashamed and like all kinds of other horrible things you might be feeling. Try as much as you can, because what I've discovered is that people will look for the tiniest thing and hold it against you, so that all of a sudden it becomes something that's against you. So also do that. And third, I'm not sure, Basyani, go to directly للنيابة. Don't go للاسم first. And we learned that a lot. They're not the same thing. And في النيابة, like, they're going to treat you with actual dignity and respect, and they care. Like, there's an actual system that they follow through, and you know, this has to be done first, and then this, kida, and then you get what you're supposed to get. Whereas التانيين, they're like, it's not that easy to even convince them that you have a reason to be upset, يعني, أصلاً, to begin with.
I've seen some Tamsilias and stuff, and I always say to mama and my dad, because obviously I've never been in an ism or anything like that, I'm like, why do they hate everyone? I was like, why is it anyone that enters in this, like, all of a sudden automatic, like, are off, and it's just like, why?
Exactly.
So that doesn't surprise me that you said that.
Yeah, go to the Niaba, they're muhtarameen awi.
Good. Basma, I cannot thank you enough. Honestly, it's been such a pleasure to meet you and speak with you. And thank you for giving up your holiday for me and speaking.
Of course. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk about something I'm really passionate about.
You're more than welcome. And to everyone watching or listening, we will be tagging Basma's Instagram if you want to follow her or see what else she's getting up to. And we'll also put some organizations that you can reach out to if anyone listening or watching has been through anything that they need help with. And we'll tag you when this is all out, Basma.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's lovely to meet you, and have a lovely holiday. And I wish you the best with whatever you're going to do in the future. And I think what you've done is amazing to help so many women come out and speak up. So thank you so much for what you've done.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, Basma. It's lovely to meet you.
Lovely meeting you. Bye.